when you arrived, how is the program at Einstein structured for, let's say, your first year or two in terms of coursework and lab bench time?
I was in the top department at that school there. The philosophy of the department is to prove yourself by doing new things.
Okay.
And taking coursework, you do in between your experiments.
Okay.
You study for your coursework in between your experiments.
Okay.
Your experiments cannot suffer for those things. Those things are not important at all. So it used to be a very tough place, but the coursework were very hard. In fact, I remember the 20 students and only two of us passed in one shot the courses. And so it is tough. But then we were not allowed to have time to study. We had to do experiments. So doing experiment was the primary thing mm-hmm. there. So that, in fact, I enjoyed very much. Because that was my interest, and I like to work. I used to spend quite a bit of time in the lab. So between coursework and research, I spent, like 80% of my effort in the first 2 years in doing research and 20% in coursework. Well, fortunately, I managed to pass doing that. And that's what they expected. In the department I was recruited, that department had a very high standard of students. Many of the students are actually... Well, some of them are Pew scholars again. And Stuart Schumann, I don't know if you... Mm-hmm. Some in UCLA also. It is a very high... It used to be a very high standard department. And again, you have to prove yourself. You have to give seminars, and that's where you prove yourself, and then you show that you have done something new. And the seminars there, the senior student postdocs and professors, they basically tear you apart. I mean, if you're doing a poor job, there's no mercy. So it was a very tough environment. It was challenging to me. So I was just completely occupied by those things.
How did that affect the relationships, the interactions between students in this program that kind of fostered, okay, you have to do your best all the time, and they weren't going to show any mercy in your presentations?
Yeah, I mean often we saw that students get basically kicked out of the department.
Right.
They're just told they are not going to make it in this department. They just it was a department for arrogant people who are tough and who could do things. They basically, that was the environment. It's a very tough place. And I know many students, there are like two groups of students who did extremely well in their life, they just left science and did other things.
Was there a lot of competition between students?
Yes. Well, the research projects were different, but the competition was us doing new things.
Yeah. Okay.
impress the department head. See, that department, although I worked for this Indian professor, he actually, the department was run basically by one person who used to be the chairman, and all the professors were his students at one point. So they became assistant professor. It's probably more like German style. That, so it was like one family kind of thing. It doesn't exist that way anymore there, but it used to be like that.
Yeah. What happened? What has happened?
Well, this person, the chairman, who he moved to Sloan Kettering.
Okay. Well, how well did you feel your education in India prepared you, both in terms of kind of the knowledge, just the content of what you had learned, but also in basic laboratory techniques? How well did it prepare you for?
Well, textbook wise, I was fine. I had no problem. As I said, just spending 20% of my time, I could pass the exams very well, with no problem. Some of them with high, you know, like with perfect score, because I learned many of those things in India.
Mm-hmm.
But lab work, very little.
Okay.
And that's why I had to learn a lot from senior students. And they were the senior students were also like, you know, they were not, again, it is not a mercy, merciless department.
Yeah.
And they insulted, really, if you do one thing poorly, you get insulted.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the fear of being insulted that helped me learn things quicker.
This does not sound like an environment of positive reinforcement.
It is, no. I mean, that department is selects for strong, you know, people only. Someone who's mediocre will not be encouraged to do science. That's the way I see it now.
Mm-hmm. So the work you did after you graduated from the University of Calcutta in this master's program, how much actual bench work did you do before you got to Einstein?
Very little. The kind of benchwork I did is just negligible.
Okay. Yeah. So, basically, when you got to Einstein, they were teaching you how to use a pipette and...
Well, I learned
run
that.
Run a gel.
Run a gel, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but pipetting I learned in Calcutta, but you know, in chemistry lab, but run a gel, yes.
Yeah.
I would say I had very little bench experience before coming here.
Okay. And when you arrived at Einstein, had you already made the decision to work with Mitra in his lab?
That you're right. I mean, that sort of was the intention of coming to Einstein.
Okay.
Plus, the fact was that department is the at that time it was the best department in that school. So.
Yeah, okay. Well, where was his research program at this point in terms of what his lab was doing? In protein synthesis, mechanisms of protein synthesis.
Right.
I guess I'm just asking, how did you go about, and in one way, how did you go about working on the project you did with the...
Yeah, well, actually that department, as I said, let me step back. They study some of the basic at that point they were studying some of the basic things in biochemistry.
Mm-hmm.
They were those people were a bunch of biochemists, and I could easily relate to them. Some of them were studying DNA synthesis, some of them studying RNA synthesis, and Maitra was studying protein synthesis. So all these are macromolecule synthesis, and they involve learning a lot of enzymology. So basically, same kind of technology is being used by everybody on the floor. They are basically enzymologists. They purify proteins, but study different biochemical reactions. So Maitra at that point was, they finished studying bacterial protein synthesis,
mm-hmm.
and he started studying mammalian protein synthesis. And that's where I got involved in Islam. Mm-hmm. Study the initiation part of protein synthesis. There are like macromolecule synthesis. There are three main steps. There's a lag phase called initiation phase, and then elongation and then termination. So the initiation part was the interest in the lab.
Right. And before this point, had you given any thought as to what kind of models you wanted to look at, whether it was prokaryotic or eukaryotic or mouse or fly?
No, you're right. I did not. In fact, I did not. I knew that at some point I want to do cancer research. That I knew, that the name of the department was at that point developmental biology and cancer.
Okay.
So I thought if I go to the department, I'll learn a lot about cancer. And that was basically that's all I knew and cared for at that point when I came in. I didn't care about what I was studying at that point.
And now here, to get back to this question again, it seems to me that here's a reluctant biochemist at best, that they say, well, good science is biochemistry, but at that point you really didn't have any idea about, what's biochemistry? But you go into this lab, which is clearly, and looking at protein synthesis, is clearly at the heart of biochemistry. And so how did this transition from, reluctant biochemist to now being interested in a lab that had fundamental, tagging fundamental problem?
The what probably helped is the fact that I came to a totally different country. Everything has changed.
Okay.
Everything is different. And I learned to accept almost everything that I was reluctant to accept that easily. That might have helped. But there are, senior students, senior students from India who I knew were very good students who did very well, and I talked to them, and then so at the early stage, basically, what the senior one or two students that I knew of, what they were telling me helped me or played a role in getting into things in that lab.
And how did you become, more specifically, how did you become integrated into the lab?
It was the fear. It was fear for survival. As I said, this department was such that you have to become a very aggressive person. My English was very poor at that time.
Okay.
You would not imagine that that I would not understand like 80% of what you're saying was that bad, because I have not spoken to an American. The American English, the accents are somewhat different. Only exposure I had are the movies. So it is a huge challenge for me. And plus the fact that I need to survive in the department, or I get kicked out of the department and then go to another department, which is considered a lot less. This department had a bunch of arrogant people who are good scientists, is no question about it. And they tell you clearly in your face that you have to be able to survive and then be someone like these students who's publishing papers and in good journals. And then so it is the fear of for survival in that department that probably and probably my ability a little bit. I must say that I was tough, and I had a lot of interest to learn things, and so I could learn things. I start learning the language. So it is different for someone who's coming from a totally different country, especially to a department like that, to survive. I know, like this university, I've seen other universities after that. I've seen Rockefeller, I've seen Duke. But I still think that that department there in Einstein at that point is one of a kind.
Mm-hmm. And how did this translate into what you did with your time? Were you in the lab, 22 out of 24 hours a day? Or how did you compensate for the lack of language skills?
It is the time I need to put in. I used to work till 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, and then go to bed at 2 o'clock, and then get up at 7. So 5 hours of sleeping, and then work. I used to work very hard. In fact, all students in that department are like that. I mean, you would not see this, an empty lab. I never saw an empty lab when I was a student in that department. You see, pressure. It's like, if for me it was from no pressure to like a 100% pressure situation, and the fear of survival in that department. So those things played a role.
Well, it seems to have worked, because it seems to me that you had a very productive time in your
lab. Yes, I was very productive, and I did very well. There was a lag for 2.5 years, but after that, I definitely picked up, and I did very well.
And you end up with, what was it, about 6 articles in JVC what, 3 years?
Right.
And which actually could tell an interesting story from what I can understand of it. And what was driving the questions that you were working on at that point? Was it, you just talked about how different labs were working on DNA, RNA, and protein synthesis. And for your work, were you looking at questions of, basic mechanisms of protein synthesis and the key factors involved in the initiation process and creation of this initiation complex? Or was it kind of larger issues of cell proliferation, cell development, and growth in the cell cycle?
Yeah, I hate to say this. At that point, we were mainly interest in the mechanism. So, and then we're very narrow-minded, which I realized after finishing my PhD that I was very narrow-minded. Yes, I spend a lot of time trying to learn, like trying to develop new things, but asking a very narrow-minded question. What is it involved in that one particular reaction? But then I definitely worked out that reaction,
right. The
details of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I did not think at that point, I did not think about in the context of a cell or in the context of a whole animal, how that reaction is important. The department was, as I said, a bunch of enzymologists. They were more interested in defining a reaction, new reaction, finding out a new reaction. And they were like that. It is only after I moved out of that place, I was exposed to more biology and more broader things. And I realized that what I'd learned in my graduate school would be extremely... I was, you know, when I started applying for postdoc, I was offered by whoever I applied to because I looked so good. They knew that the training I had at that point, enzymology, was just... had a lot of value, and everybody wanted to do some of those. So, and then it was hard to find people who are trained like me at that point. So I was offered by almost anybody I applied to. In fact, and somebody offered me his car space at Rockefeller University.
Oh, wow. That's great, because I've been there. I know. And how were you identifying yourself as you were finishing up and, well, as you were publishing these papers in JVZ, how were you identifying yourself in terms of what your own work was about? Were you seeing yourself as an enzymologist, or were you seeing yourself as a biochemist? And you know, what did that mean? What did you think that meant?
You're right. That was a point. I knew that I have to change because I did not want to continue that type of research because I felt that I have learned a lot and my interest was to do cancer research, and I wanted to get into cancer research. And that became very clear that I need to move on and do something which is more directly related to cancer research. And so that's what I planned for and went for after that. So I started studying virology, which is totally different from enzymology. Biochemistry. So I had to learn again everything from scratch, the techniques that I was going to use and then type of journals I was to read are totally different. So again, there was like 6 months of learning, but I could do that, and I could do it. I was fortunate that I could do it.
Okay. Well, one last set of questions before we move you off to the Rockefeller. And probably we're at a pretty close to a good stopping point for today. But how well did you integrate into, you know, the Big Apple socially and culturally into New York City coming from Calcutta, India? Knowing that for the first 6 months you stared at planes because you wanted to go back home.
Right. I did very poorly. Very poorly meaning, first of all, I didn't get time to do anything other than going to the city, Manhattan, and then seeing movies, you know. But then that was expensive, and the stipend was only $6,000 at that time. You could couldn't do much. So right. You had to stay in the lab.
Right.
You know, only thing my friends, friends are mostly Americans. I shared room with Americans, and then, so I try to. I realize that if I stay with my Indian community, it might be bad for me. It may not be very helpful. So it was.
Okay. And you were living with an American.
Right, yes. So, and then, so that's the only exposure I had with American culture, with two medical students who were American. And that's basic. And then I had a lot of exposure to American culture from them. I started watching some of the comedy shows, Johnny Carson.
Okay.
So
wow.
I got introduced to that, which was very difficult for me to understand. At that point, it takes several years for
humor is very difficult to understand if it's in a foreign language. I can attest. The Germans were always making jokes.
No, plus some of these comedians, they you have to know a. Quite a bit about American culture before you can understand the humor.
Yeah.
And so that way I kind of, in fact, those roommates were, you know, like, and then the medical students, they changed, and the new roommates came in. So that was the only exposure I had, major exposure I could think of.
Mm-hmm. And did you seek out Indian communities?
No. Okay. Except for when there was, I knew that I could get a good dinner.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Catch any Yankees games?
Fact is, baseball was not attractive.
Living in the Bronx?
I could not get into baseball.
Well, yeah.
I tried, I could not get in. I like football.
Mm-hmm.
I like basketball. But baseball is...
That's just not it. Yeah. Okay. Well, I think we're at a good place to stop. And we can pick up tomorrow.
All right.
Thanks.